We were discussing the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim on Daf Chaf Dalin Amin Aleph. The Mishnah records a two scenarios in which Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim disagree about whether it is Chazorah or it is not Chazorah. The Reisha, the first case was Neman Alai Abba, etc., where the two litigants agreed and they consented to accept a judge who's not qualified. And then we have the Seifa, in which the litigants consented to accept a Shavua, which is not technically qualified. And in both cases, Rabbi Meir says Yochel Lachzerva, that even though the litigant made that commitment, he can change his mind. And Rabbi Meir makes a lot of sense, because there was no kinyan. We have a principle called dvarim, a kinyan dvarim. In other words, if I say I'm going to pay you and I don't back it up with a kinyan, then it's not binding. And the question is, what do we do with the Chachamim Shita? The Chachamim will say that his commitment is binding despite the absence of a Maisa Kinyan. How do we accept that? How do we understand that? So the Yad Ramah insists that Rabbi Meir holds a Kevin de Lokonu Miyodo, Einkan Maisa Kinyan, it's only a Schaivus Didvarim. And Dvar Bialma, Einu Mischayev, we see something very similar in the Rashbam, at the end of Masechta Bava Basra. And then we try to make sense out of the Chacham. So the Chachamim hold Einu Yochel Lachzorva. So Tosus in Masechta Bava Metzia insists that there's such a concept in Halacha called a Kinyan Dvarim. That although we have assumed until this point that there's no such thing and that the halacha doesn't recognize a kinyan dvarim, but in fact the Gemara in Bava Metzia does recognize a kinyan dvarim, and our case of Neman Alai Abba is in fact a case of kinyan dvarim. Now kinyan dvarim means that in some cases, when a person accepts upon himself to pay, to pay money, if we have reason to believe that that acceptance was done with a full heart, with an absolute will, and a total decision, without any conditions or strings attached, then the smichas dvarim will now substitute for a kinyan, a formal kinyan. Notice, the purpose of a formal kinyan is to indicate objectively that a person really came to what's called gavur maknin, that he had a gemiras das to make a kinyan. I mean, just the fact that he speaks and he says he wants to be maknin, that doesn't prove a thing. But when he goes a step further and he does an objective maisa kinyan, that indicates, clinches, and demonstrates that he had a gemiras das. However, let's say there would be a situation in which circumstances indicate that there was a Gemiras Das, even though there was never a formal Kinyan. The Rabbanan hold in that case that there is a Kinyan Dvarim without a Maisa Kinyan. And that's going to apply to the case of Neman Alai Abba. Now, why is it that in the case of Neman Alai Abba we assume that circumstances are absolutely convincing that he had a Gomer Machni situation? Well, you can answer it one of two ways. If we go with Reish Lakish, you may remember, if not, I just want to jolt your memory, that according to Reish Lakish, there was already a decision on the part of the Bezdin. So imagine, both litigants, Reuven and Shimon, accepted this Bezdin, despite the fact that someone on the court is disqualified, and the Bezdin actually handed down a verdict. Once that happens, then there's a Gemiras Das. You don't need a Maisa Kinyan for that. Another way of going, which seems to be reflective of Tosus and Bava Metzia, is to say that since there was a Tvia, there was a claim and a counterclaim, and the two litigants the Tovei and the Nitba agreed on a certain bezdin, even though that bezdin is comprised of Abba, Vicha, or Roi Bokar, those who are technically disqualified, nevertheless, there was a Gomer Umachnit. Why? Because since Reuven knows that Shimon has a claim against him, or vice versa, Shimon is aware of the fact that that Reuven is suing him for money, and they're taking their case to be adjudicated, to be decided in front of a Bezdin. If they both agree to that Bezdin, then what's happening is that the Nitba is saying that in this case of a tvi against me, I'm definitely willing to pay if this particular court that I agreed to go to comes to the decision and conclusion that I have to pay. So just to summarize, the machlokas now between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim is whether or not Nemar Alei Abba is what we call hischayvus bedvarim below kinyan, or it's a case of gomar umakni, that even though there was no formal kinyan, there is very, shall we say, heavy circumstantial evidence that indicates that there was a gomar umakni. And now we're up to Rebbe Elchanan. Rebbe Elchanan, if you recall, we mentioned this last week, comes up with some sort of a revolutionary idea, which he bases on a sugya in Bava Basra called Matana Mu'etes. What is a Matana Mu'etes? This is a case where a Yisrael has Maser, which has to be given to whom? To the Levi, right? And he says to the Levi, to one specific Levi, he says, Maser Yesh Lecha B'yadi, here's your Maser, come and pick it up and take it home. And the Sugya Bamitzia establishes that in such a case, the Levi could be mafrish, he could be mafrish trumas maser, bimakom acher. In other words, basically, he was kone with an absolute possession and ownership, this maser, based on the fact that the Yisrael said to him, kur maser yesh lecha b'yadi. Says Rabbi Elchanan, in this case of Matana Mu'etes, the Yisrael has the legal right to decide that he changed his mind. In other words, Yachol Lachzor Bo. Now, we don't understand what's going on over here, because on the one hand, the Gemara says that the Levi has full possession over the Maser, and therefore he could be Mafresh Truma Mimakom Acher on this Maser, as if the Maser is certainly his. On the other hand, Rabbi Chanan insists, based on, again, a Gemara Baba Basra, that in a Matana Mu'etes Yochel Lachzor Bo, he can change his mind. In other words, we're going to have to find some moment in time after which he did not change his mind, meaning the Yisrael who owns the Maser, and only after we pass that moment of time, only then can we assume that the Kinyan was complete, this Matana Mu'etes. And Rabbi Chanan says it all depends upon whether Hotzi Hadavar Mishuso or Lo Hotzi Hadavar Mishuso. Do you remember this? Yeah? Okay. If you remember, I'm very impressed. And it means the following, that in the case of the Maser, the Levi never actually received the Maser into his hands or into his domain. It means the Maser is sitting now in the field of the Baal HaSod, meaning the Israel who owns the field, and he therefore says to the Levi, come and pick up your Maser. When he says to the Levi, come and pick up your Maser, on the one hand, that's a Matana Mu'etes which is viable without a Maisa Kinyan, but the Yisrael is allowing himself room and space to change his mind, to rescind his decision. And he, you know, he can wake up and say, you know what? I have another Levi. You know, he's my favorite Levi. John, you're a Levi, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can decide, you know what?
I want to give it to John. And as long as the first Levi has not yet picked up the maser and hauled it or schlepped it into his own domain, since it's lo hotzi adorim yishuso, the Rabbanan say that when he, the Israel, decided to give it to the first Levi, he did so with a mindset, with a stipulation, that he would, as long as he's holding on to the maser and he hasn't yet deposited it, if I could use that word, he hasn't yet transmitted it to the Levi, he has the right to decide that he wants to give it to a different Levi. And therefore, if we apply Reb Elchanan's logic to our case of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, as to whether a Dvar B'Alma, a Schaivus of a Dvar B'Alma without a Kinyan can be Chal, so Rabbi Meir holds that there was never a Maisa Kinyan, and all the money is still in the Rishus of the person who, whether it's the Toveah or the Nitba, who is under this lawsuit, who's involved in this case, is therefore, it could very, very be possible that we have a whole new interpretation of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is not denying the Chachamim Shita of Garu Makne, that there could be a Kinyan Dvarim even without a Maisa Kinyan. Even Rabbi Meir is on board with that, as we saw in the Sugya of Matana Muetas. What Rabbi Meir is insisting is that since the decision hasn't been made by the Beis Din and the money is sitting wherever it's sitting in the Rishus of the Tovea, the Nitba, it's Lo Ba, Lo Hotzi Adorim Yeshuso, that like in the case of Matana Muetas where we have a clause that he can be Chozer Bo, that's what Rabbi Meir is applying here. And Rabbi Meir is saying that he can be Chozer Bo because it's still Lo Hotzi Adorim Yeshuso. The Chachamim, on the other hand, hold, we're not sure exactly why, that this is not called a Kinyan Dvarim at all. And if it's not called a Kinyan Dvarim at all, I'm sorry. According to Chachamim, this is called an absolute Kinyan Dvarim, and it's not like the case of Matana Muetes, and therefore the Chachamim insists that Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo. Now enter stage the Chazon Ish. So you should have, hopefully, page Tes Zayin. And I photocopy a few Yud Zayin and Yud Ches as well. First, let's go through the Chazon Ish. Now, honestly, I don't recall if we mentioned the Chazon Ish. I think we did, but I'm not sure that we got heavy into it, if you know what I mean. I don't know if we had enough time to really adequately analyze this Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish insists that even according to Rabbi Meir, who says Yochel Lachzer Bo, it's not because Rabbi Meir rejects the Kinyan itself. He accepts the Kinyan of the Chachamim in the case of Neman Alai Abba, etc. Ella, but rather he holds that when the litigant, we'll call him the Nitba in this case, Shimon, accepted these judges, is Mistama, that's the word that we have to underline here, Mistama, as we have to assume, Ein Daito Shishtabit. He didn't have in mind an absolute shibud ad kedei kach to such an extent that lo yuchal lachzer bo. So in that sense, the Chazon Ish is very, very close to what we saw in Rabbi Elchanan. That just what we saw in Rabbi Elchanan, that even though the Israel made a commitment to the Levi and he says, here's your master, just come and haul it and take it away, and that itself is a kinyan through dibur, but nevertheless he allowed himself the possibility of changing his mind and earmarking this maaser for a different Levi. Here also, in the Chazon Ish's frame of reference, there's a possibility to say that ein daito sheishtabech kedei shelo yuchal lachzor bo, according to Rabbi Meir. The ha b'gemara amru the tani tarti. Okay, so let's see if we can understand where the Chazon Ish is coming from. Tani tarti. The Gemara wanted to know, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to have both a Reisha and a Seifa, two different scenarios? First of Nem and Eliyahu as far as the Dayanim is concerned, and secondly the case of the Shmuah. And the Gemara is assuming that in both the Reisha and the Seifa, we're talking about Etein Lecha, which means that the Nitba is saying to Tovea, I will pay you if... I will pay you out of pocket if the judges will find me guilty. I will pay you out of pocket if you take a shvuah of Roshi, meaning a shvuah kala. Why do we need then the two cases of etei lecha, both the reisha in the case of dayanim and seif in the case of shvuah? And the Gemara insists that there's a fundamental difference between these two cases. One is called Tola Bedas Atzmo, and the other is called Tola Bedas Acherim. In the case of the Shmuah, the litigant puts himself to the mercy of the Tovea. And if the Tovea decides to take the Shmuah, he will collect. That's called Tola Bedas Acherim. In the Reisha, on the other hand, that's called Tola Bedas Atzmo, which means that the nitba is totally dependent upon the will of the tovea. That's called atzmo. Tola bedas atzmo. In the reisha, on the other hand, with the case of dayanim, that's clearly tola bedas acherim, where the nitba is saying, I'll pay you if the dayanim decide that I have to pay you, that there's enough evidence, etc. That means he's dependent totally upon the dayanim. In the case of Tola Bedas HaDayanim, then he, the nitba, may convince himself up front that the dayanim are going to find in his favor, because he thinks that all the evidence and that weighs in here is his. And therefore, he's Tola Bedas Acherim. He thinks that maybe he'll win the case. So the Gemara says the following: we need both the Reisha and the Seifa. In the case of the Reisha, where he's Tola Bedas Acherim, in such a case, he didn't have a Gomer Machni situation. We need a Chiddush of the Chachamim that even in the Reisha they would say that Eino Yochel Lachzor Bo. And if we only had the Reisha, we would not know that the Seifa, which is a case of Tola Bedas Atzmo, where the litigant knew up front that he was throwing the ball totally into the court of the Tovea, Rabbi Meir would still insist that Yochel Lachzor Bo. So again, we have a Chiddush in the Reisha in the case of Tola Bedas Acherim, that even the Chachamim, Even though it's Tolib Das Acherim, the Chacham still insists of Yochel Lachzor. Just one second. That even if it's Tolib Das Acherim, Rabbi Meir would hold Yochel Lachzor Bo, and a Chiddush of the Seifa, that even though it's Tolib Das Atzmo, nevertheless the Chacham would hold that Yochel Lachzor Bo, which is just one second, that Eino Yochel Lachzor. Let me just make sure I got this right, that even though it's a case where he totally makes it dependent upon the Tovea, in the Reisha, So the Reisha is coming to Mechadish that the Chachamim hold even the case of Nevet Olai Abba, where he's told him that's Acherim, nevertheless, Eino Yochel Lachzor Bo. Right? You would have said that logically in the Reisha, since it's a case of Tolomidas Acherim, therefore he never really made such a serious commitment, and the Chacham would agree that Yochel Lachsimbo. So the Chiddush of the Reish is that the Chacham, even in that case, the Tolomidas Acherim hold that Eini Yochel Lachsimbo. And in the Seifa, in a case of Tolomidas Atzmo, we have a Chiddush in Rabbi Meir that even though he knew up front that the, you know, he should anticipate that the Tovea will in fact take the Shvuah, nevertheless, Yochel Lachsimbo. Okay, so that we have. He says the following: the mistama ain daito shishtabed shelo yuchal lachsarbo. So we're explaining the underlying logic of Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir hold yuchal lachsarbo? Because it doesn't make sense that he would give up the whole ship, you know, give up the whole argument, and be willing to pay. He wants to leave himself some sort of room for Chazor. And where do I see this? I see this in the Gemara distinguishing between Tola Bedas Atzmo and Tola Bedas Acherim. And if we only had Tola Bedas Acherim, which means that which means that he thinks that he's not going to have to pay, is Bahaka Amar Rabbi Meir, right? Bahaka Amar Rabbi Meir, that's where Rabbi Meir says Yochel Lachsar, because he had no anticipation that he would have to pay, and it's Lo Gamru Mak, Mi'emer de Mizaki Le, who says that the Dayanim will find in favor of Ruvein the Tovea, maybe they'll find in my favor. So in that case, where he thinks he has a very good shot at this Mammon, he's not going to just forfeit his rights to this Mammon, carte blanche, without adding a stipulation that I could be Choser, but I'll tell him that's Atzmo. In such a case, he knows up front that the Tovea will in fact take that Shmua, he anticipates that he will pay, and if he made that statement of Etain, then Eina Yochel Lachsarbo. But we see clearly that the reason for Rabbi Meir is because he didn't have that Smichus Das to make an absolute commitment. And Rabbi Meir says nothing about Chisor and Kinyan, because again, if Rabbi Meir would hold like the Yad Ramah understood it, that he can be Choser Bo, not because of these wishy-washy kind of commitment that he made, but rather because he didn't make an objective Kenyan, then there would be no distinction whatsoever between Tolomidas Atzmo and Tolomidas Acherim. Says the Gvuris Yitzchak, Harei, what do we see from this Chazon Ish, that the reasoning of Rabbi Meir is because of a Chisaron and Gemiris Das. And that's why, in such a case, Rabbi Meir insists that he left himself room to be Choser Bo. El Demir Chazanish Nira, Desvirle, the time of the Rabbi Meir, Mipnei Shlo Somach Daito Lishtabed Klal. Now, I'm not sure exactly why he has to add this sentence, Mipnei Shlo Somach Daito Lishtabed Klal. To Lefima de Ka'omar, Hagemara di Tana told us Achir b'Haka Amar Abayin de Motzi Hanu Mishum de Lo Gamar Umakne to Amar B'Yemar de Mizakile Nira di Ein Daito Lischayev Klal. Again, he repeats himself. So this is not exactly the way we said it in Rabbi Chanan's frame of reference. We said that even Rabbi Meir agrees that our case of Neman Alai Abba is similar to a Matana Mu'etes. And in the case of Matana Mu'etes, there is a kinyan to the Levi. Harai, the Levi can be Marfish Truma Bimakum Acher, just that the Baal Hasada leaves himself the ability room for Chazara. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, seems to be assuming that according to Rabbi Meir, he never really had a full-fledged Das, L'schayv Klal. And where does the Gevurah Yitzchak see this in the words of the Chazon Ish? Because the Chazon Ish puts the entire he takes the machlokas Rabbi Meir Chacham and he puts it entirely into the perspective of Tolem Adas Acher Gavar Machni Tolem Adas Atzmo Velo Gavar Machni, or the other way around. In each case, it all is contingent on whether it was Gavar Machni, which means that Rabbi Meir holds Yochel Lachzer Bo, because we don't have a Schaibus and a Gemiris Das. Now, honestly, that's a little bit difficult in the case of Toli B'das Atzmo, meaning in the Sefer, where the litigant was mischaived that if the Tovea will take this flimsy, Shua Kala, as we call it, then the Nitva will in fact pay. So what are you going to tell me that lo gomar l'schayv klal, lo gomar daito l'schayv klal? That's a little bit difficult. I mean, the Nitva made a statement that even if the Tovea will take the Shvua Kala, which is totally a matter of his decision, he's willing to pay for that. He's going to take money out of his pocket and transfer it over to the bank account of the Tovea. So I wouldn't say in that case that it's Eino lo gomar u'machni klal. That was his phrase, Ein daito l'schayev klal, or Ein daito l'shtabe klal. That's a weak point in the context of the Sefer, where the Nitba says to the Tovea, you decide whether you want to take the Shmur, and I'll pay you if you make that decision. To say that lo eschayev lo gomar daito l'schayev klal, that's a weak position. I mean, the man said, I would pay you. What do you mean, lo gomar daito? I mean, he knew the score. He understood that the Malva or the Tovea would have the decision-making process in his hand as to whether he should take advantage and take the Shvua Kala. What do you mean, ein daito l'shtamid kla? That's why I think Rebbe Elchanan is a lot smoother here, in the sense that Rebbe Elchanan is saying that even Rabbi Meir agrees that he did have das to be mischayev. There was a gomar u'machni, but he wanted to allow himself room for chazorah. And where do we find a precedent for that? In the sugya of matana mu'etas. Behine hachazonish ochiach the timer the Rabbi Meir lo havi mishum chisor kinyan. That Rav Meir is not based on the absence of a kinyan, but rather on the absence of Gemiras Das. The Imishum Chisor Kinyan, then the whole distinction between Tolem Das Asma and Tolem Das Acher falls apart. In both cases, there was no kinyan, and there clearly Rabbi Meir would say, Yachal Atzerbo, in the absence of a kinyan. It must be that Rabbi Meir is not putting his eggs or his emphasis on the Chisor Kinyan, but rather on the question of whether he had a Gemiras Das. He says that's not a clear cut proof. Isfile Rabbi Meir the Yochel Lachzer Bo Bal Korcho She'ein Hachisor Mitam She'ein Daito La'ah. This was our logic, that in the case of the Sefer, which is Toli B'das Atzmo, and now the ball is in the court of the Tovea, he has total control over this Mammon, that certainly he had Das to be Mishabed himself, and even so Rabbi Meir says Yochel Lachzer Bo. It must be that Rabbi Meir is holding that there is a chisaron kinyan over here, that he didn't make a maisa kinyan, and therefore, even though he himself in his das had a full-fledged decision that he would pay, but nevertheless he could be chozer bo, and the kinyan is not binding because there was never a maisa kinyan. And then we're back to the Yad Ramah. Now what I'm not clear about is why is it at this point in the development he seems to be totally oblivious to Rebbe Elchanan. He's like dropped Rebbe Elchanan on the side over here. Rebbe Elchanan would seem to be saying that even in the case of a Gemiras Das without a kinyan, it still is binding, and that comes under the principle of Hein Hein Advar Ma'niktin Ba'mira, like in the case of Matan Muetis in Meiser. However, he allows himself room for Chazar. So that approach to Rabbi Meir is being shelved at this point. Now he says that Rabbi Meir, according to the Chazon Ish, is based on the fact that there was no smichus das l'shtamid. And here he quotes Enemuke Yosef. So this you'll see on the top left on this column here. Ruvay, were you able to find any of those pages? No? Oh yeah, I apologize then. Okay, hopefully we'll get up to page Yitzayin. How are we doing on the clock? I don't know, we don't have that much time, but he has here an Amuki Yosef. He says, Lav de ka omale bachalcha behedja.
I don't see the video.
Okay, this is the bottom right column on Tesayin, going on to the top of the left column.
Now I see.
Okay? And he says, Lav de ka omale bachalcha behedja. Right? The Gemara distinguishes between ete lecha and machalcha, the case of the Tovea. If the Tovea says that let's rely on these disqualified judges, then that's a binding commitment, and the Gemara says that's because it's a case of machalcha, which means that the Tovea saying to the Nitba, I will drop my claim against you, you will not have to pay me, because these judges have determined that the case, you know, they have inclined the case in your direction. Says the Nebuki Yosef, that's not really called Machalcha. How can anybody have any question about this? And this is going to be the subject of Machlok Shim Rabbi Meir the Chachamim, whether that's binding or not. For sure it's binding, but Mechila is binding. And we never found that Mechila requires a kinyan. He says, Elikagodi omale tovel nitva hare olai lasos mitvia zu kechol sheyomru abba ve'avicha hein liftur ve'hein lechiv she'ein bazel loshon bechila. So what do we get from this Nebuki Yosef? He's telling us that you cannot take mechila in this Gemara literally. Because if that be the case, then kuliyamalo pligi, that you don't need a kinyan. You see that the Mukiyosa is putting all the emphasis on whether there was a kinyan or there wasn't a kinyan. And the Mukiyosa has to reinterpret our sugi entirely. Our sugi is not a case where the Tovea says the Nitba, if they find in your favor, then I'm mochel any monies that your outstanding debts that you owe me. But rather, he says, we'll do exactly what the Dayanim tell us, that if they tell us that you're a potter and if I can't collect, or the opposite, they tell them you're chayiv and if I can collect, then we'll follow whatever these Dayanim do. Harei alai lasos kechal asher yomer. That's not a lashon mechila. Again, this requires a lot of work unto itself. What's the difference between that and a mechila? But he says it's not mechila, and therefore, what compels the Nebuki Yosef to reinterpret our sugya is because if it were in fact a lashon mechila, then kuliyamalo pligi, everyone would agree that it's valid without what? Without a kinyan. You see those words on the second line: dehalo boy kinyan. Meaning that a mechila does not require a kinyan. This could support the position of the Chazon Ish. Shapi Yishlom, the time there are Me'am Yishum Chisar and Kinyan, the Midvar B'Alma Lochal Hischailos. Just one second, let me just make sure I got the mathematics correct. Right, take a look at the. You see there on the right side, there are two paragraphs on the bottom that start Vehine Chazon Ish. Look at the end of the first of those two paragraphs. And he writes, Elatam, Elamitam, that's two lines up from the bottom of the paragraph, Chisar and Kinyan. In other words, the reason why Rabbi Meir holds Yochel Lachzor Bo is not a problem of Das, because again, keep in mind, Rabbi Meir is saying Yochel Lachzor Bo even in the case of Tolem Das Atzmo, where he certainly had Das up front to be Mischayev, but rather because of Chisar and Kenyan. That's the Sheet of the Chazon Ish in Rabbi Meir. And we can derive a similar shita from the Ruki Yosef, because the Ruki Yosef says that the problem in Machal Lecha is that he didn't use the Lashon Mechila. Had he used the Lashon Mechila, then despite the absence of a Kenyan, it would be binding. So we see that the Ruki Yosef is putting all his emphasis on the lack of a Kenyan. And he's asking, well, is this a Lashon Mechila, and therefore the Chisar, the deficiency in Kenyan, is not relevant? Or is it a different Lashon? It's not Mechila. That's what he concludes here on line 5, on the left column. The Yekain Shapar Yeshlom at the time of the Rabbi Meir Mishum Chisar and Kenyan. To be Dvar B'Amalo Chalas Chayis Mosh Kosav HaRamah. So he has a proof for the Chazon Ish that the Yad Ramah is correct, and Rabbi Meir's problem is the absence of a formal Kenyan, not the absence of Gemar Das from the Nebuke Yosef. Now he has the Yad Ramah in Bava Basra Daf Yud Gimel. The Nevelai Ava, the Liachar Gemar Din, Eino Yochel Lachzor Bo. This is Reish Lakish, that after the Gemar Din, even Rabbi Meir would agree he cannot withdraw and retract his commitment to accept the verdict of this Bezdin. Kevon, the Omer Tovea, Neman Alai Abba O Avicha V'lo Hodar Bei Kodim Gmar Din, says the Yad Ramah, if he never rescinded and the Gmar Din was handed down, is Hemnu Alei Kechad Kosher. He has accepted Abba as one judge who is kosher, to be mashlim the number three, because we have two judges who are ksherim. Oh, now here we get to the punchline of the Yad Ramah. He says, "Ukiman di odile." Please underline those words. "Ukiman di odile ba'hisa dusa dami." Now I don't know exactly what he means by sahadusa, because usually the word sahadusa in Aramaic is exclusively dedicated to Avis, but here I think the word sahadusa is being used in a more generic sense to include even the judges. So the decision of the judges now, according to the Yad Ramah, are upgraded to the status of kimandi odule. It's as if he was Moda, because if I say to you that I will rely on this judge, no matter what he decides, then I'm basically giving you a hodas baldin to the effect that I have to pay you this money if the judge decides in your favor against me. Haray, what do we see from this Yad Ramah? Din eman alai abo avicha mahani mi din hodas baldin shahodim mamesha omrim Shemasha Omer, whatever these judges determine, have the emes v'yatziv, v'tzarech bir, di imma hani mikoch hodas baldin, amai kaimolon, dafka li'achar gmar din eni yochel lachzor, v'kodem l'chein chozer. And that could be true even according to the Chachamim, possibly. V'alo kvar hoda. I would have said it's a conditional hodah, but he's saying there's no such thing as a conditional hodah. Right? Well, let me just, that wasn't really the right way of saying it. What do I mean? The Baldin says that if the judge will decide against me, then everything he says is emes, and I have to pay you. That's called Hodas Baldin, according to the Yad Ramah. the old machlokes will be after Gemara Din, because after Gemara Din, that's when the Hodah goes into effect. So the Gemara Yitzchak is boggled by this, because what do you mean the Hodah goes into effect after the Gemara Din? If the statement was that this judge is reliable and I will trust him and whatever he says is emes, and it means if I'm chayiv, therefore I am chayiv, because what he says is emes, then the halacha of Hodas Faldin should operate even before the final judgment, even before the Dayan issues his verdict. There was already Hodas Faldin on the part of the Nitpa that he will accept, or the Tovea for that matter, he will accept the word of the judge. Word meaning the decision of the judge. So that's already a Hodas Faldin. Why do we have to wait until after Gemara Din? Well, this is really quite profound. Let's see if we can explain this in our own lingo. You know, he has a very fancy language here, but let's see if we can translate it into our language. He's saying the following. There's a fundamental difference between hischayvus and hodas faldin. Hodas faldin means, in this context, that I is either the mouth of the lova, meaning the tovea or the nifa, it doesn't matter. I vest all my credibility, all the credibility that's necessary in the reputation and the declaration of this dayan. I grant him total credibility. That's called nemunas. And you'll ask me, well, why should this dayan have that credibility and that nemunas? After all, he's an Abba Avicha, he's Posel, he's a Karov. The answer is Hodas Faldin. Hodas Faldin now generates a nemunas vis-a-vis, or with regard to the status of the judge, who again on the Raisa level is not reliable, but the Baal Din accepts him as reliable, meaning he gives him and recognizes his credibility. At that moment, Hodas Baal Din will kick in. And he says the following, that he doesn't understand the Ramah in Bava Basra. How can Ramah in Bava Basra say that we're operating here with Hodas Baal Din? Hodas Baal Din does not depend upon the outcome, but rather on the moment that the Baal Din invests credibility, generates credibility in the Dayan, way before the Gemara Din. He says that if we go with the opposite approach, not that of the Yad Ramah, but rather that of Tosfos, that the concept here of Yochel Lachzabo or Eino Yochel Zat Lachzabo in the case of Nema Nalayab is totally dependent upon Ischaivus, and you want to know whether there is a Ischaivus or there's not a Ischaivus, then I can understand Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir could postpone the Ischaivus until after the Gemara Din. Hence we understand Reish Lakish that up until the Gemara Din, everybody agrees that Yochel Lachzerbo, but after the Gemara Din, ain't no Yochel Lachzerbo, or just the reverse, that there'll be a machlokes as to how we define the Hischairus machlokes in Rabbi Meir Chacham before the Gemara Din, but once this Gemara Din, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Meir, that ain't no Yochel Lachzerbo, and the reason for that is because the Hischairus was a Hischairus up until Gemara Din, or maybe I should say it a little differently, not up until Gemar Din, but Mikach Gemar Din. Yeshua, they ain't died to the Shtach. Adli Achar Gemar Din. Right? So what was his mindset? I will be mischaived to pay you with the Gemar Din. Because if the Gemar Din goes against me, then I'll pay you. Or in the case of the Tovea, if the Gemar Din goes against me, then you don't have to pay me. So that Schaivus is totally dependent upon Gemar Din. Why? Because he's saying, I will accept the Gemar Din. That's a Schaivus to accept the Gemar Din, either to pay or not to have to pay. But in the case of the Adramah, that we're dealing with what? With Hodas Bal Din, then that Hodas Bal Din should be binding way before the Gemar Din. And the reason for that is, as he says very well, ki nasan lo kach nemanus, that the Hodas Bal Din here means that I trust this Dayan. So at what point does he commit himself to trust this Dayan? From the point, even before Gemar Din, of the Masu Matan, of the deliberation. And if that be the case, after all, according to the Adramah, the whole sheet of Rabbi Meir of Yochel Lachzerbo is before the Gemar Din, because we're going according to Reish Lakish, and after Gemar Din, Kuliyamalo Plingi, that ain't a Yochel Lachzerbo, and even Rabbi Meir would agree. And that makes a lot of sense if you hold his chaimus, that my chaimus was that I'll accept the Gemar Din. But certainly I can be Chosebo, says Rabbi Meir, before the Gemar Din. But if you're going to go and operate with the Yad Ramah of Hodas Bal Din against Tosfos, then the Hodas Bal Din should be effective immediately when he says, I trust this Dayan, which means I'm investing credibility in this Dayan, that he's going to give a decision that's emes v'yatziv. And then if he says, I'm Chayev, I am Chayev, and I trust that, you know, I have no, I have no compunctions or no reservations about trusting him. So why do we have to wait till Gemar Din? Once you've already established Hodas Bal Din, that you accept his nemanus, his credibility, as a Dayan, to determine that you're Chayev, then Hodas Bal Din Kamei Eidim Dami, that's already effective. Alright, so we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got to. So Ruben, if you'll be with me tomorrow, maybe you could take a little time, if you don't mind. I just think the photocopy, you know, is a little bit of a headache. You want to copy this piece?
I'm
set?
Not right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to hold this or I'll put this over here.
If you want to put it over here, this way you know where it is, and I don't have that headache, you know, in my head. Okay, then? All right, all the best.
Okay.